Lord, teach us to hope in you that we may gain new strength. May we soar on wings like eagles. May we run and not grow weary. May we walk and not faint. Amen. Sorry about the feedback. I think it's the metal plate in my head. So, good morning. I recently had the opportunity to see Paul Simon in his last appearance at the famed Hollywood Bowl. Midway through his set, he played one of my favorite songs, Kodachrome. You know the one. It begins, and I will paraphrase because it's Sunday. When I think back on all the stuff I learned in high school, it's a wonder I can think at all. As a veteran teacher of some 25 years, I suppose I should take offense to this sentiment, but I can't, because I know that it is true. So let me take this opportunity to apologize, class of 2018, for the pain we have inflicted, for the many, many things you have been forced to learn over the last 13 years or so of your education. Many, if not most of which, are of dubious value. It turns out that much of what you have learned will not come up again, despite all the dire warnings about how you'll never know when you'll need this, that bald men like me have been issuing, lo, these many years. Yes, you have undoubtedly been given valuable information, and more important, you have learned to begin to think for yourselves, to reason, to question, to research, and to stay up very late finishing papers for classes you have the next day. By the way, it shows, if you're wondering. And you have learned a host of not necessarily academic truths to boot. Play well with others. Don't cheat. And if you do, admit it when you get caught, because you will get caught. Don't gloat when you do well, or whine when you don't. Accept the grades you are given. Try to make time for yourself. Without a doubt, this is just the beginning of the list of things you have begun to learn in school. I say begun because the dirty secret of adulthood is that you never actually learn these lessons for good. At some point in your life, you will realize that you never fully figure it out, that living is always work, that you will have highs and lows, and that you will have to reteach yourself many lessons because the game shifts. As it turns out, this is not my first baccalaureate sermon, it's my fourth. I spent some time looking back at my previous speeches from the last 15 years, and I'm not surprised to see that I end up saying roughly the same thing to young people again and again. There's the butter up. I've never been as impressed with a group of people as I am with you. You are brighter, more decent, more assiduous, and more loving than any generation before you. What's funny is that I always mean that when I say it. It never stops being true. There's the Spider-Man. You've been given a great opportunity, and with that comes equal responsibility to make the world a better place, and God knows we need that. And then there's the philosophical. I encourage you to take the advice of another one of my favorite musicians, John Prine, who encourages us to blow up our TVs and eat a lot of peaches and move to the country. If you watch CNN or Fox News or MSNBC for longer than an hour on any given day, you'd become quite convinced that the world is coming to an end, and soon. Maybe it is, though I doubt our ability to know that. What I know from being a student of history is that every generation of humans has had cause to believe that it's over, and yet here we are, Lord. These are the usual things I have said, and I have met with some approval for these comments. Yet I confess to you here today that I have never been totally happy with my baccalaureate sermons, as I have always given them in a high school gymnasium. As such, I've had to keep the biggest part of my heart and soul veiled. I have tried in my way over the years to show glimpses of my faith in class and to steer students towards the light, but it's a fine line. So when Mother Paula asked me if I wanted to speak today, I didn't hesitate, despite my own self-doubt and my feelings of unworthiness to stand at the pulpit, because I have something to say to you, class of 2018, that I've been waiting a very long time to say. And it's really advice for all of us. In these coming years, you will continue to face challenges, doubts, obstacles. You will have moments when you wonder if you're made of the right stuff. You will wonder whether what you're doing in school or jobs or relationships matters. You will have questions. When you do, I would challenge you to remember, brothers and sisters, that the God of all the universe sent his only Son to die for all of us. That's what you and I mean to God. Just as you are as worthy of that gift as I am, and you always will be. Christ has washed us of all our sins, past and present. We are slaves, and now we are free. We were lost, and now we are found. The songs we sing here turn out to be true. But here's the rub. These are not your typical graduation platitudes about working hard and paying it forward. We are charged by God to live as if we know that he is with us. We should live boldly, make choices in faith, with the understanding that, as the passage from 2 Corinthians tells us, if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This knowledge is liberating. The hard part, and I'm speaking from personal experience here, is believing it. But we have to try. Our gospel today tells a story that exposes the problem of faith. Jesus' family has come to restrain him because people are accusing him of being in league with the devil to cast out spirits. The scribes go so far as to suggest that Christ himself is possessed. Christ asks them, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand." And we all know, because Abraham Lincoln quoted this passage, that a house divided cannot stand. Christ's ability to cast out demons, to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to feed humanity, these are divine attributes. But the scribes and the people and Christ's own family are incapable of seeing his miracles as evidence of his divinity. They cannot process who Christ is. Their knowledge is of this world and thus limited. Even Mary, Christ's mother, is encouraging Christ to perhaps tone it down a bit. Christ refuses to go out to his family, instead saying, "Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." There are at least two takeaways that come to my amateur biblical scholar mind here. First, even Christ's family, yes, even Mary, who was visited by angels, had moments of doubt, of uncertainty. Their faith flagged on occasion. They were limited by their inability to understand and accept what their own eyes were seeing. Second, if we do the will of God, we are as members of Christ's immediate family, which begs the question, what is the will of God? Our banner sums it up nicely. Love God, love others, serve the world. All of us, whether we are graduating from high school this week or celebrating our 30th college reunion, are given the same task, and it doesn't end, and we're never done until we're done. We must continuously relearn to do that which is right, to live for others, to seek the divine. Graduation ceremonies and celebrations don't just afford us the opportunity to congratulate the hardworking young people who have achieved so much. They also remind us that there is work left to be done for all of us. Though not all formally recognized, life is a series of graduations, a moving through or a matriculation through God's creation. These events give us all an opportunity to begin again. So, class of 2018, you set forth this week on a journey of the rest of your life. We expect you to do well in college and careers, to make us proud, to get degrees, to get promotions, to make that money, and to move out of the house and change the world. As you do, please leave ample room in your life for faith. No matter what you do with your lives, the story ends the same way for all of us. Sure, references to our mortality are not the typical stuff of commencement addresses, but it's true. Life is short, and you should be happy and enjoy it as much as you can, but I encourage you to consider that true happiness, deep joy, can only be found in communion with God. When you stray, and you will, come back soon. God will welcome you as the Father welcomed the prodigal son. I have tested this theory myself. When you doubt, fight through it. When you learn things in school and in your life, understand that despite all the packaging, human knowledge is limited. Nobody's argument about the existence of God or about the origin of the universe, about any of the big questions, is more informed than yours. When I was your age, I knew everything. Right, Mom? Yeah. And what's more, I was far more willing to share my keen understanding of all that is with anyone who would listen, or even with people who wouldn't listen. The older I get, the less I know, at least in terms of my own capacity to understand the questions that matter. More and more, day by day, I am surrendering to faith. This is not an act of intellectual dishonesty. It is, finally, an admission that all the stuff I learned in high school is not of much eternal significance. So here's the final advice I have for you graduates, and it's from my heart. Honor your father and your mother. Love your neighbor as yourself. Show pity to the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Amen.